So as we prepared for Youth Sunday, and haven't they done a great job leading us in worship? I'm really proud of them. I think there are a lot of us sitting in the pews who would not want to be up here leading worship, and they are 12 and 13 and doing a great job of working within their anxiety. So as we were preparing for Youth Sunday, we spent some time studying this parable of Jesus. We're going to spend a lot of time in parables over all of Lent, and in the next few weeks leading into Lent, we'll be doing a couple of Jesus parables, kingdom stories. And we were talking about the story and some of the things we noticed about it. And so we talked about this firm foundation that Jesus is talking about. You know, we have been studying Jesus' Sermon on the Mount for the last 3 weeks, and this is the last thing that Jesus says in the Sermon on the Mount, because he wants to be sure that people understand that just listening to Jesus' words, just reading our Bible, isn't going to build a strong foundation. We have to do the things that Jesus said. And they are strange things. They are not what the world expected, right? Everything that Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount was upside down. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who are mourning. Well, that doesn't sound right. You have heard it said, Jesus says about the law, which he loved over and over again, and then would say, but I tell you, and made it something even greater, fulfilled it in a different way. And those are the things that he is saying we are called to do, to live like Jesus. But there's another piece of that story that we don't always pay close attention to. It doesn't say, build your house on Jesus and no storms will come. It doesn't say, doesn't promise that your life will be good. And you see, that's what people expected to hear. Think about the Old Testament Deuteronomic way of thinking, right? If you follow God's will, you will be blessed. They expected that if we did the right things, life would be good. But it's just not how life is, because we live in a sinful world, and sin is bigger than just our individual sin, right? It's an evil, and it's institutional sin. It's sin that's been built up over generations, whether that's illness or problems with the environment, whether it's the way we treat each other. And so Jesus was saying, look, this world may not be what you hope all the time. That's why I'm talking about the kingdom of heaven. I want you to know that it's here and now, and it's still to come. And so even when we build our house on a strong foundation, even if we have great faith and we follow the kingdom way of Jesus, there is no promise that storms won't come. The rains fell, to Mia's great chagrin with the rain, and the floods came, and the wind blew on the house with a firm foundation and the house with a weak foundation. God doesn't promise that we won't have storms in our lives. And our experience tells us we will. What God promises is that even in the worst of times, our faith can stand because it's built on Jesus. Hebrews talks about it in a little bit of a different way, but still that same storm reference, that Jesus, our hope in Jesus, our hope in Christ, is our anchor. So even when we are struggling, even when we don't understand what's going on in our lives, we can have hope because of the foundational love. What this table is all about. It's what the cross is all about. Jesus has overcome evil. Jesus has overcome death. He's already the victor. And because of that, we are too. That's good news. And Jesus wanted to be sure we understood that good news and had ways to hold on to it in our life. And so one of the ways he did that is by turning the last meal that he had with his friends, a meal that was already so meaningful because it was a reminder of the ways that God had rescued the people of Israel out of slavery, he turned it into something even more meaningful. The Bible tells us that on the night that Jesus was betrayed, when he had a meal around the table with his closest friends, he took bread and he broke it and he said, "This is my body broken for you. Eat it in remembrance of me." And in the same way, after the meal, took a cup. He gave thanks for it and blessed it and said, "This is the blood of the new covenant. The old way is gone. A new way, the way of love, has come. And this is that way. They will know you are my disciples if you love each other as I have loved you." And in John's gospel, he demonstrated that love, right? By washing the disciples' feet. A job that no one wanted to do. And then telling them to be servants in that same way. In just a moment, we're going to come together to the table. This is Christ's table. It's not the Colonial Avenue Baptist table. It is Christ's table. And Christ's table is open to all. And so we invite every child of God, and if you're wondering, that's you, to come and share in communion. We're going to invite you to come forward and by your rows. Our youth will be here. There'll be a communion station here. They'll serve you. And then for this side, there'll be folks here. So you can come down the middle and take your communion and go back to your seat. There'll be a song playing for you to meditate on. And as you're ready, as you feel ready to receive these symbols of Christ's love, you will take and eat in remembrance of him, in remembrance that no storm can wash away Jesus' love for you. Will you pray with me? God, I thank you. I thank you for your great love, for the love that you showed us around a table and on a cross and in an empty tomb, for the love that you demonstrated throughout your life as you showed us the way to follow God. And I ask that you would forgive us for the times when we forget how much we are loved, and for the times when we forget to love others in the way that you have loved us. God, as we come now, help us to know that your love is the way that leads us to a firm foundation that can never be shaken. In your name we pray. Amen. So youth, if